that were asked of some people in the youth group to share a little bit about something that they want to share about. And so three of our youth are going to share what God has put on their heart. And I'm going to let them kind of take it. I believe that just as they say, as it says in the Word, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. God is no respecter of persons. Therefore, God can speak to a young person just as much as he can speak to an older person. Amen? And so I'm going to just give it over to one at a time, those three. I don't know who wants to go first. Yvonne, all right? And Yvonne's going to share from his heart. And as he comes up here, I'd just like us to go into a word of prayer and lifting up his word. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day we have here tonight. We thank you for the opportunity we get to hear from your word and your words, Father, that are being spoken. We get to hear manna from heaven tonight. Well, glory to God, Father, you can use anybody, and you're going to use the young ones tonight, Lord, to get through your word that we need to hear tonight, this time, for such a time as tonight. So, Father God, we thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise that you're due. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said, amen.
I need to get my phone. Good evening, everyone. I've been having this on my heart ever since we were doing the 21 school prayer. If you attended to that, great. If you didn't, you missed out. So when we were praying at the Douglas High School, me and Peter were talking about how it felt different this year, and that last year we made a club at the high school called New Generation Bible Club, and it's been going great, and we're going to start it again this year. And last year, I felt like we planted a lot of seed, God's word, of course. And I felt like it was a time of harvest, and so did Peter. So I want to share about that, on how I felt it. Like, Jesus just took me to these scriptures. So if you may turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 34 through 35. Excuse me. Oh my gosh. Okay. Is everybody there yet? Okay. Jesus said, "Food that keeps me going." Wait. Wrong scripture. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said, "The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started." As you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months it will be ready? It will be time to harvest. Well, I'm telling you, open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. It's these Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. And I felt like this scripture was leading me to we have to be patient to harvest the people that we get in the high school, but it's harvest time, and I believe they're going to come this year, and God's going to do great things. And if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 through 38. Excuse me. Okay. It says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And I felt like we're going to harvest those people, the workers in our school, so they could help us. Those people that, the Christians that spread the word of God, and I believe it's going to grow more. And if you will go to Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Okay. These were his instructions to them. "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." And that's us bringing them in by the power of God, spreading the word. And Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. And that I felt like a lot of people attack us in the high schools because of what we're doing, and people don't like it because we're spreading the word of God and they don't feel comfortable with it. But you got to do what you got to do. It says it in the word that we have to spread the word and save as many souls as we can. And with God, nothing is impossible. So we're expecting great things at the high school this year. So that's it. Thank you.
Praise God. Amen. With God, nothing's impossible. Amen. And how true is that word? Thank you, Yvonne, that what we see, sometimes we see a big picture, huge picture, and it seems overwhelming. We have to remember that with God, all things are possible. Amen? And that, I guess I'm a little biased, and I was excited at your word because, you know, I work at the high school, and that's awesome. That impacts so many lives in this community because the school district is one of the hugest employers. And so it's just going to make a huge impact. And praise God for that. Amen? Amen. We have another youth who would like to share. Lucy.
Hi, y'all. Okay. So, I'll just go right into it because I don't know what to say, but okay. So, I'll be reading in John chapter 20, verses like 24 and down. Okay. So, One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my finger into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hand. Put your hand into my wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." And, because they had asked us to teach or say what we had in our hearts. And so, So Tuesday night, I was just in my room and like I was just praying to God and asking him what was he wanted me to say. And like, I don't know, it was just weird. Like, I don't know where I just felt like he wanted me, like, to speak about is we are not moved by what we feel or see. And because we are led by faith and not by sight. And that scripture is in, well, there's like, it's in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And actually that verse, it is like, in like, let's see. Like five or maybe more times it says it in the Bible. So I know you guys have heard that it says that if it says it more than once, then it's important, right? And so we are, when things like maybe going bad or something, and we just have to like, because we are not moved by what we feel. That's like having, if we are like that, it's like having like the faith of Thomas, like he said, "Not unless I touch where his nails were at and stuff, then I'll believe." And we shouldn't be like that. And I'll just read the other scripture I have. I just really like it. I don't even know if it goes with it, but I think it does. But I just like it. So it says in Psalms 55:22, it says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never permit the righteous to be moved." And and how I was saying that when things are going bad, we're supposed to look to God because we are supposed to like call those things that are not as though they were. And that's in the Bible too. And because we should never trust our natural eyes or our feelings. We should like really learn how to like feel what the Spirit is telling you to say. And so, yeah, I'm excited because I was just, you know, sitting there and like, I don't know where, but bam, you know, it just came to me. But yeah, so we are not moved by what we see or feel. We should just like keep the faith because we are the righteous ones and we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, wait, I remember something. So the days too, when we were walking, like the first few days, like probably the second day, and I don't know if you guys know who Kenneth Copeland is. He's in Texas, a pastor in Texas. And they have a prophecy for this year. And well, my family and I have been following that, and like we confess it every day and stuff. And like, well, one of the lines it says, "And the great I am shall visit your land." And throughout the whole day, before we went to the prayer, I was hearing that, like, constantly throughout the whole day. And I'm like, God, what are you trying to tell me? And it's like, obviously, it says, "The great I am shall visit your land." And it goes with it because you may not see anything, but like how my dad was saying, things are happening. And so don't be moved by what you feel or see, because you can never trust these eyes and feelings. So trust in the Lord, and he's good. That's it.
Amen. 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 Live by faith, not by sight. Amen. Amen. Well, there's one more. Ready? Yes. All right. God is good. Amen.
Well, hello. Microphones make me feel weird. Anyway, I think most of you guys know that me and my family were up in Flagstaff for my brother's wedding. And while we were up there, me and my mom stayed longer, but anyway, when we were up there, one night I was reading my Bible, and I would say I was going through like a spiritual attacks, and like I had the whole week I'd been like, I was like, "In the name of Jesus, get away," because it was like I kept thinking not too good thoughts. And then as I was reading my Bible, I automatically, sometimes, you know, you get those things where it's like this specific scripture comes up in your mind. And what came up that night was Proverbs 19, verse 23. And it says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil." And most people would say that the last line would be talking about like someone coming and robbing your house. But what really came to me was it also means that the fear of the Lord leads to life. Since we fear the Lord, we don't have to worry about anything, because since we have God with us, the enemy can't come near us. And yes, the enemy tries to attack us, but it means that since evil will not come near us, we will not be visited with evil, it means that we should not really worry about that. Sometimes we think that, oh my gosh, the enemy is getting at me. But what really happens is he's trying to get at you. He can't fully get at you. He can just kind of, not really. So with that, it's basically, I was like, okay, God, that was from you. So, yeah.
Amen. Praise God. God is good. Let's give a round for these young people who stood up in front of people. It can be hard sometimes, prying eyes, looking at you, you're nervous, and want to share from your heart what God is speaking to you. It can be difficult. It can be difficult. God is moving. Amen. God is at work in our lives. Amen. And all of the words that were spoken tonight by these young people, Yvonne, Lucy, and Samantha, man, it's true. It's all truth. It's all from the Word. It's all true. It's harvest time. There are souls out there to be harvested, to be brought into the kingdom. Amen? There are laborers who are out there, just like in the midday sun, it gets hot and it gets tiring and it seems overwhelming. But we know at the end of the day, if we do our job, we get the spoils of what our job is, the harvest, to bring it in. That's what's happening. I think we all can feel it. I can feel in the spirit realm that this is the time. This is the harvest time. This is the time to get out there and bring them in. People are hungry. They're hungry for something real and something more. I think our youth have displayed that they can feel it. There's something more, and I think the youth today can feel it spiritually in their spirit. It's time. It's time. It's time to do what we do. It's time to be called. We're called to be laborers. Amen? Bringing people to the Word. Living it out loud so that those people don't see us as doubting Thomases. So that they see us as rocks. Strong in our faith. Praise God. Praise God. I didn't know what they were going to say tonight, but the Spirit did. Amen? And yeah, we get attacked. Spiritually. How many of us have been attacked spiritually in our lives that we know? Yeah, we get attacked, but who wins? We do every time. Every time. The faith of overcomers is what we have. Amen? Along with what they had to share, I got a little bit to share, if that's okay. I want you to turn to Matthew. No, is it? I'm going to use the New Living. Is that cool? Matthew, hopefully you have your Bibles. Read your Bible and pray every day. And you grow, grow, grow. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. You know, and I think this goes along the lines of what the Spirit was talking with the youth about. If we talk to people outside of being Christian, we talk to these non-believers, if we are around them a little bit here and there, we meet them, we can see that within their soul, there's a hunger. There's a hunger for truth, a hunger for something else. And I believe chapter 5, verse 6, is a verse for believers to demonstrate to the unbelievers. Chapter 5, verse 6 is the first part of what's on the screen. It says, God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will receive it in full. Amen. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, and they will receive it in full. I think if we read that, there's a fire that gets shut up in our bones if we really read that. That pertains to all the things that the youth were talking about. Faith, being a laborer, being strong in our faith to command the devil to leave when he attacks us. A fire shut up in our bones that we need to release. Why? Because God blesses those who are hungry. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty. Anybody ever been hungry before? You've been hungry? You see some food or you're driving along and you're hungry. What do you say to your parents?
I'm hungry.
Are we there yet? Because I'm hungry. Some of us get hangry. Anybody know what that means? Hangry? Yeah? A little bit angry and hungry at the same time. Where's my food? I'm hungry. And then you get in a bad mood. Because you're thirsting, you're wanting some nourishment that will fill you up. Amen? So God blesses those who are thirsty. I'm sorry. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty. You ever been thirsty? Dehydrated? You need that water? Yeah. You almost race to get water. You almost race to get food when you're hungry. That means that you are actively pursuing what is going to fill you up and what is going to quench your thirst. Amen? There's a fire that gets lit that makes you want to go get full. Amen? A fire that is lit that makes you want to get that drink. I'm talking about water. There's a fire. A fire. What's a fire do? How does a fire get started? Let's talk about that. Gasoline. That's a different story for another time, Mark. There has to be something available, yes? And then some outside source has to come in and act upon that what's available, yes? We are the wood, and the Spirit of God is that outside source. Hunger and thirst for justice. God is justice. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. God is righteous. Amen? So when we hunger and thirst for the Spirit of the Lord, there's a fire that gets lit. Amen? When we hunger and thirst, there's a fire that's lit. And when we don't hunger and thirst for that, there is no fire. Now, what does fire do? There is a type of hunger. You see, a wood is sitting there and it's waiting to be consumed. So there has to be fuel, some type of spark, some type of outside thing that acts upon the wood. Once it's sparked, there is a roaring fire. That fire, as long as its fuel or that outside source is kept on it, it will rage, it will roar, it will burn for more and more of what it is that it is getting, yes? We, the church of God, need to be that fire, need to be that wood that is hunger and thirsting for more of the Holy Spirit, amen? More of the fire of God, more of the truth, more of justice, and more of righteousness. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, and they will receive it in full. Amen? But then how does that fire go out? How do you put out a fire? You have to remove the fuel. You have to remove the fuel source, or stifle it, or put a blanket over it, or douse it with some kind of cold water or cold something, yes? And it will then burn out. We are no different. I believe we are no different. We get rage and we get fire. We got filled with the Holy Spirit. We're all about God. We're around godly people all the time. And then we go outside and we do ungodly things. That water just got poured on us. No longer the fire that we need to have. No longer that thirst and hunger for righteousness. Amen? Let's turn to Psalm. Psalm 107. Fire of the Holy Spirit inside of each one of you. I believe we need to get back to that. That fire. That fire. That initial spark. What made us want to be Christians? What made you want to come to church? What made you want to become a believer? What made that wood start on fire? What made me start on fire? We have to never forget that. We don't have to live in that, but we should never forget what made us want to become a believer. What made me want to change my life to fit the standards that God had given? I believe we need to get back to that and have an understanding of why we're there. Psalm 107, chapter 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. When we get thirsty, and I'm talking about we need something out of life, yes? We need something. We're missing something. Our body's craving something for this life. This part says, he satisfies the thirsty. If we're hungry for something, we need something to fill it in our gut. We need something out of life that we just can't seem to find it. Verse 9 tells us that he fills the hungry with good things. But we have to refer back to what Jesus said. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, he'll fill them. We have to hunger and thirst. Let's turn to Proverbs. This is the easy one. Chapter 21, verse 21. I believe this falls in line exactly with what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, which we read, and with what we read in the Psalms. Whoever pursues godliness. Now, pursues there can be used in a couple different terms. The terms can be used interchangeably. Hunger and to thirst, to pursue, they can all be synonyms. So it says then, whoever pursues godliness and unfailing love will find life, godliness, and honor. Those who pursue godliness, those who hunger after righteousness, those who have the faith and faith to go after something, those who stand in faith against what the world is trying to throw at me, those who hunger and pursue, hunger and are thirsty, those who pursue godliness, pursue righteousness, those who pursue unfailing love will find, will be filled, will be full, will receive. Amen? A fire should be lit. Whoever pursues wickedness, whoever pursues sexual immorality, those are the ones who get filled, right? No. It doesn't say that, does it? The word says, whoever pursues godliness and unfailing love. The world wants to sell us this sexual immorality. The world wants to sell us these imitation love. The world wants to sell us this imitation high. The world wants to sell us imitation things. Why? Satan is the ruler of this world and he is the trickster. So duh, this is what the world's going to try and throw at you. God is trying to throw at you real love, real life, real happiness, and the trickster is throwing you imitation stuff. But oh, how most people love that imitation stuff. Why? Because it might feel good. Feel good. But where's that fire that made us want to become Christians? That made us want to take a stand and say, nah, I'm not going to give in to that trickster. Nah, where is that fire? We got to get back with that fire. Amen? Amen? Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. Chapter 31. This world may try to trick you, and in trickery, you get tricked. I'm pretty sure that all of us could raise our hand and say we've been tricked by the world once or twice. And that makes us feel sad and depressed and like we're not worthy of anything, or like we don't have, we're not worthy of anything that possibly could be. That's what the trickster wants you to think. But it says here in verse 25, it says, for I, talking about the Lord, for I have given rest to the weary, no more worrying. Rest to the weary and joy to the sorrowful. I would run around here because I'm full of joy. I'm just not the running guy. But I'm excited. And I'm excited because I don't have to be like the world. I have a fire inside of me. You have a fire inside of you. You just got to turn up the gas a little bit. Turn up the gas. Make it burn and make people feel it. Show it. Why? They might get warm. That's a good thing. It's possible they could get burnt. That's okay too. They got to feel your fire. They got to feel your fire. Otherwise, it's like this. It's like, oh, that looks warm over there. Oh, there's a little fire right there. Oh, it's a little fire. That's good. You got to have a little fire. But what if you're blazing? They could feel it from a long way away. They could feel it from a long way away. Let's turn to John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 14. It's another scripture that's talking about those who hunger and those who thirst and those who are in need. And Jesus is speaking here. It says, but the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring within them, giving them eternal life. Another example of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness get what they're searching for: life, godliness, righteousness. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The word is life. Amen. I want to go to verse 58. How many of us, well, I'm not going to make you show your hands, but I think all of us, since we're here, proclaim to be Christians. State to other people that we are believers. And I want to read something that Paul wrote. Verse 58 says, "So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." I believe that the scripture is telling us to don't put the fire out. Don't turn down the gas. Don't think that you're too Christian. Don't think that you're too loud. Don't think that you're too weird. No. Be enthusiastic about the Lord's work, because the Lord's work never fails. Amen? It never fails. The only thing that fails is when we don't do the Lord's work. Amen? When we do not do what we proclaim to supposed to do, that's when the Lord's work doesn't work, because we're not doing it. Amen? Be enthusiastic about the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Galatians, somewhere in the Bible, chapter 6. This goes along with the 1 Corinthians that we were just speaking about. Being enthusiastic, being joyful, being full of joy, being happy. That at the end of days, you're going to go to paradise. Be joyful. I don't believe that the gospel, the good news, was meant to be okay news. I believe that it was meant to be good news. And what do? When we have good news, we celebrate. We're joyful. We're enthusiastic. Amen? When we have good news, we tell people about that good news. If somebody gave me $1 million, that'd be great news. I'd probably tell somebody about it. Amen? If somebody gave me something that I really needed or I really wanted, I'd probably proclaim that. And say, you know what? I just got today. Holy moly, you wouldn't believe it. Enthusiasm is fire. Enthusiasm and joy is fire in our bones. The Word talks about it. We got it on the inside. Why not show it on the outside? Amen? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Don't get tired and give up." Sorry. "Don't get tired of doing what is right. Don't get tired of doing what is good." That first part, don't get tired of doing the work of the Lord, what is good. Don't get tired. Be joyful. It keeps going. It says, "Don't get discouraged and give up. Keep the faith. Stay on track. Stay on fire. Don't let somebody turn it out. Don't let somebody blow it out. Oh, your God's not real. Oh, you're right. No, stand strong." Well, they didn't prove that. Oh, you know, you're so right. They didn't prove it, so I can't believe in that. No, stand strong. Be on fire. Be on fire. "Don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up. For we," the word says, "we will reap a harvest of blessings at the appropriate time." How many of us believe that God's timing is not necessarily our timing? God has a different clock, different calendar. He's got a different watch. It's probably bigger than this. The word over and over we read at the beginning, that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who keep the faith, will receive the promises and the blessings. Those who are on fire, those who keep the faith and stay the course and don't get discouraged and don't get too tired and are not getting depressed about this and that or the other thing, those are the ones who are reaping the harvest. Amen? because they're staying the course. Don't get discouraged, because if you're a believer, you know the ending. You know what's happening. It's like knowing that you're going to win the lottery, but you don't know exactly when, but you know when. But you know you are, but you don't know when. You're excited that today is the day. I'm excited today because I might win the lottery today. Now that's a worldly example, but it's true. We should be excited every day that we get to walk out of our house or our apartment, that we get to go somewhere and proclaim the name of Jesus. Amen? We should be excited that we have the opportunity to possibly bring somebody else with us to paradise. Amen? We should be excited and full of joy that we get to live a life without worry. We should be excited and share that excitement that we get to live a life without bondage or oppression. We should be excited. God is not a boring God. Read the word. God is not a unexcitable God. He gets pretty excited. He's pretty joyful. He's pretty happy. He's pretty good. He's pretty exciting. And if anybody has, God has worked in our lives, we know that God is real. Amen? Amen. It's not just some make-believe mythical character. Right. And so those of us who believe that need to proclaim that each and every day. And live it the best that we can. The fire, the hunger. Over the past few days, I had to ask myself, where is my fire? Where is my hunger? And I ask that same question to you. Where is your fire? Where is your hunger? Where is your thirst for the truth? I ask myself to the youth all the time, and before that, can they see the fire on me? Can they see that I'm hungry? Can they see that I'm thirsty for the word? If they can see that I'm hungry and thirsty for the word, maybe that will catch on them. If they see that I'm on fire, I love God, then that's an example to give to them about being on fire for the Lord. The same works for whoever you come around. Are you that example? The word teaches us to be that example, to be that. And it's a hard question to look at yourself in the mirror or to look at yourself however and ask yourself, am I being that example? Am I being the word in that person's life? Am I showing this person love in this particular situation? Am I doing what I'm called to do? That's a difficult question because sometimes it requires change. Sometimes it requires us to go to that gas thing and turn up the gas a little bit. Sometimes it makes us maybe wad up some more newspapers and put that in the fire and light it. Sometimes it takes us maybe to pour some gasoline on the fire. Whoa, let's go. Amen? Amen. We got to be excited about the word. One thing I know from teaching school is that if I'm not excited in class, my students aren't excited. If I'm not sitting up there and I'm teaching sports medicine like the human anatomy or a body or say an injury and I'm like, The ankle sprains like this, you know, and if anybody sprains their ankle, you turn like that, and it hurts, and it tears this ligament and that ligament, it hurts this bone and that bone, and it, you know, just go on the computer and rock and roll. You'll find it. Just go to WebMD and you'll find it. I found that if I'm not excited about what I'm talking about, if I'm not excited about what it is I'm teaching, they're not going to be excited, and they're not going to learn anything. Many of us adults and kids alike are the same way. If somebody's not excited about what they're saying or on fire about what they're saying, we kind of tend to be like, well, they don't even believe what they're talking about. So if we're talking to somebody and we seem like, hey, what's this about Jesus? What are you talking about Jesus? And we're like, whoa, Jesus, well, he died for your sins and you need to repent. And that's good, but I think we can be a little bit more excited. I'm not saying that all that stuff is bad. I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk about it in any way. But the word says do it with excitement. The word tells us to be joyful. The word tells us to be uplifting. The word tells us to be happy. The word tells us to be excited. Enthusiastic. Amen? I do believe that being excited about God is important. I do believe that being enthusiastic about knowing that Jesus died for my life is important. I know that all these things that were written in the Word that Christians claim to read and claim to live by is telling us to be excited about the good news that was given to us and proclaim that good news, that exciting news, that enthusiastic news, that joyful news, that awesome news, that great news, and to proclaim that with excitement, and to proclaim that with some fire, and to proclaim that with some oomph. I believe that proclaiming the name of the Lord, that we are saved, is exciting news. It's good news, and we should be excited. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We should, as believers, be excited. Amen? I believe there's no other way than to be excited about knowing that Jesus died on the cross so that we can live. That God sent His only Son down to earth, a place that He didn't really have to be, in order to say to me and to you, hey, believe in me and it's all good. It's all good. That's exciting. That is good news. That is some great news. I'm not sure if y'all heard about how hell is going to be, but I'm pretty excited I'm not going to go there. Amen? I'm pretty excited that I don't have to spend eternity in whatever that's going to be. There's a whole bunch of different stories, and you can read all about how hell's going to be and all the pain or whatever you're going to go through, the never-ending pain and torment and whatever. I don't want to go there and experience that. So I'm pretty excited that Jesus came, died for me, and said, hey, look, you believe in me, you follow my ways, you're obedient, and you don't have to go there. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Amen? 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 Praise God? Yes? No? Okay. Excitement. I would like you to stand, and I'm going to pray over all of you tonight. I'd like you to just close your eyes, and I'd like you to raise your hands and lift your hands up to the Lord and receive what I'm praying over you. And receive what I'm praying over you tonight. Receive the words that are coming down. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your truth, Lord. I praise you and honor you for your truth. Because your truth stands the test of time. Your truth is forever. Your truth is the only real truth. And Father God, for all those here tonight, Father, I pray fire. I pray that your Holy Spirit get in those bones and light that match. Pour that gasoline on them. Light the match. Roll up those newspapers. Put some more wood on there. Light the fire. 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 In Jesus' name, light the fire in their lives. Light the fire in their mind, in their body, in the soul. Light the fire. In Jesus' name. Like a fire. Shut up in the bones. Flowing through each and every person in this place. Fire. Father, I just declare that over their lives in Jesus' name. That there be such a burning fire. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Father. Praise you, Lord. Oh, light the fire so the world will know. Light the fire in their bones so their family knows. light the fire in your bones so your brother and your sister, your mom and dad know that you're a believer. Light the fire so your cousins, your aunts and your uncles know. Light the fire. Light the fire so your kids know that you're a believer. Light the fire. Light the fire so your friends, they know. This guy knows Jesus. Amen. Light the fire. So that all the people you know, so that everybody you know, knows that you're a man of God. Light the fire. Light the fire. Remember, there is no shame in being on fire for God. There is no guilt for being on fire for God. There is no problem for being on fire for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Father God, you said that we, these people in this room, I'm pointing at all of you. Jesus, you said that you are the light of the world. You said, I am the light of the world. There's no other way to the Father through except through me. And Father, and Jesus, I know that you said that you will be with us. That makes us to have the light within us, within you. You have the light. You have the fire. You have it. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the light to shine, to be bright, so that all could know. So that all could know. So Father God, I pray that the light just shines bright. No regrets. No condemnation. No thoughts of being irrelevant. No thoughts of that I'm not good enough. No thoughts of I don't know what I'm doing. No thoughts of I don't feel like Jesus really uses me. No. Fire to be used. A light to shine. I declare over these people, over this church, thank you, Jesus. Glory to you. Praise to you. Praise to you, Lord. I believe that this is the time. That this is the time. This is the day. This is the day that the Christians break out of their box. Break out of those four walls and get excited about the good news that we got on the inside. Amen? About the good news that we got on the inside. Amen? Amen. Amen. I pray blessings over you this week. God bless you. I love you. Be excited this week. As you go home, as you do whatever you do, be excited that you're a child of God. Amen? Be excited. Have that fire. If I come and touch you, you should burn me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, before you leave, say hi and bye to somebody. Tell them you have a good week. God bless you. Praise you. You're awesome. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. Have a blessed week. Thank you, youth members who shared. Thank you. God is good.